There are many important days in the life of a community, in a particular life, a community of faith. We've got all the big, important holy days on our calendar: Christmas, Easter, Pentecost. We've got the days of particular note within particular communities, so those events that happen every year. I'm mindful of the cookie sale we just had and what I've been having for dinner every day since Sunday, thanks to all of your delicious baked goods. There are all these important things and days in the life of the community. And there's one day that every parish has that's particularly special to it, and that's its patronal festival. Or its feast of title for parishes not dedicated to a saint. So we are a parish dedicated to St. Thomas the Apostle, and thus the Feast of St. Thomas is our patronal festival. So if you haven't put all the pieces together yet, today is our patronal festival. Today is St. Thomas Day. It's a wonderful and glorious occasion to get to gather together to celebrate the Eucharist and give thanks for the life of our patron. You know, there are many things that contribute to an ethos of a community, to its founding story and narrative. And intentional or not, conscious or not, I think the patron of a parish is just as important its story as is its founding and as its history. Who a parish's patron is can influence its life as a community. Who our patron is, who St. Thomas is vital to where we go from here. Now, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, someone who, I will confess, I was one of those people, I'm like, they should know better. And I was talking about keeping the Feast of St. Thomas, and they looked at me with a puzzled look, and they said, dude, lay off the incense. St. Thomas is in Eastertide. That's when we hear Thomas. And I'm like, no, dude, look at the church calendar. The Feast of St. Thomas is December 21st. Which goes to highlight the reality that when your feast day is December 21st, there is slim chance most of the wider church is going to remember, because there's another feast day in like 72 hours that people are a little more preoccupied with. I mean, in fact, there are several churches in the diocese having liturgies this night. I know one church that's also keeping Thomas tonight, but most of them are keeping winter solstice liturgies. And I'll be honest, I've been a bit of a curmudgeon this week and saying, the winter solstice is not on our calendar. They should be giving Thomas more due. But that might just be because I feel a little defensive of our patron. I think, as much as St. Thomas is often forgotten in this time of year, I think Thomas is a really important Advent character. And I think he's the perfect person to help us transition from Advent into Christmastide. And I don't say that just because I really like the red set. We don't get to wear it often, and this gives me an excuse to wear the red set. We only hear about Thomas really in John's Gospel. We hear about him in lists of things, but we see Thomas in John's Gospel. And there are three particular episodes in which Thomas is a focus. First one comes right after Lazarus has died. So Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. Word gets to Jesus. And Jesus says, all right, folks, we got to go back. Now, the rest of the disciples, they don't want Jesus to go back to Bethany, to Judea, because, well, the rulers were just trying to kill Jesus. And understandably so, Jesus' disciples are like, hey, they're trying to kill you. Maybe we shouldn't go there. But Jesus says, we've got to go. We've got to go because Lazarus isn't really dead. Lazarus is asleep, because the glory of God is going to be revealed. And it is Thomas who says, let us go with him that we may die with him. Not any of the other disciples. The rest of them are like, no, let's stay away. Thomas is like, no, we are called to follow. I think that's the first great Advent witness, that first great witness and lesson we have to learn from Thomas as we transition from one season to the next, is our call to follow. So much of this Advent season, as you've been listening to me say over and over again, has been about repentance, about returning to God, about recognizing those places where we have veered from the way God calls us to live and being called to reorient. That's what John the Baptist has been all about when he's been calling us to repent in the wilderness. That's what Thomas is doing. The disciples want to go away from where Jesus is calling them to, but Thomas says, no, this is where we have to go. In this season of Advent, as we prepare for the Incarnation, we are called to follow where God leads, even if it's a place that we don't really want to go. Second time we see Thomas in John's Gospel is during the Last Supper, what we now call Maundy Thursday. It's during Jesus' farewell discourse, his final teaching for his disciples. Now, Jesus knows what's about to come, but the disciples, they aren't really clued in yet. So Jesus is trying to get them ready. And he says, I'm going on to prepare a place for you. And Jesus describes kind of a bit about this place. And he says, and you know the way to the place where I am going. Now, I love Jesus, and I love Jesus' teachings. But sometimes Jesus isn't always the clearest. Sometimes Jesus can be a little vague, leave you wondering, what's he talking about? What's going on here? I mean, it's the reason why I always laugh when we have those gospel passages where Jesus says to your disciples, have you understood all this? And they say, yes. And I'm like, they're totally saying yes like this. Yes, Jesus, we know what you're talking about. The same way kids do, right? When they have no clue what's going on, but they just want to pretend like they know what's up. Thomas, however, isn't going to fall into that trap. I think most of the time he's going to be saying like, Jesus, what do you mean we know where you're going? You haven't actually told us. You've just said you're going on ahead of us. Thomas is the one brave enough to admit when he doesn't know the answer, to admit when he's got to ask for help. And so it is Thomas who says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And to this, to Thomas's question, Jesus offers one of the greatest self-revelatory statements he has. Jesus says in response to Thomas's question, I am the way and the truth and the life. How do you get to that place where Jesus is preparing? Some of you have heard this in my funeral sermon because this is a funeral gospel. How do we get to those mansions, those places of abundance where God has prepared for us? We get there by following the way, the truth, and the life. We get there by following Jesus. One of the important things for us on this journey as we continue our vocation as Advent people, as we move into the season of the Incarnation, is to recognize it's okay to ask questions. Don't have to assume you know the answers. I think sometimes there's a pressure to pretend like we've got everything figured out, we know where we're going. You know that whole motto, fake it till you make it? That's not what God calls us to. God calls us to be honest. To have that vulnerability of not knowing. To be honest, and saying, we are still growing in our life of faith, still growing in knowledge and love of God. So just as we are called to follow, we're called to ask questions. Ask questions to help us figure out, where do we go next? Where is God calling us to in this next chapter of our journey? The last episode of Thomas and John's Gospel is what we heard this night. This is the Gospel that we hear on the Sunday after Easter, on Easter 2. That's why everybody thinks about Thomas during Eastertide. And I gotta say, I really feel for Thomas in this passage. Because it is this passage why everybody calls Thomas Doubting Thomas, and that is 100% not fair. Now, before I say why it's not fair to Thomas, right? So here's why everybody calls Thomas Doubting Thomas, because Thomas shows up, and all the rest of the disciples, they say, Thomas, you'll never guess it. Jesus showed up. And Thomas is like, yeah, right. I'm not believing it. I got to see. Now, the thing is, if we step back a little bit to the gospel we hear on Easter morning, we might notice that the rest of the disciples, when Jesus first shows up, they don't believe it either. They need that proof. They need to be shown. So really, Thomas is just getting a bad rap for being like everybody else. Thomas isn't doubting. He's just got a case of FOMO, that fear of missing out. He wants what the rest of the disciples have seen. But I think there's something deeper going on for Thomas when he refuses to believe. And maybe it's not even he refuses, maybe it's he can. Imagine the profound level of grief the disciples are experiencing in that moment. This one whom they have followed, whom they have pledged their life to, who they are willing to die for, has just been brutally and horrifically murdered. They've been scattered. They are locked in an upper room. They don't know what's happening next. They don't know the end of the story like us, right? Like they haven't really figured out about the whole resurrection thing yet. They're still kind of figuring out what's going on. I got to imagine that Thomas is so overwhelmed with grief that he can't even really begin to comprehend what's happening around him. I know many of you have experienced profound grief in your life, profound loss in your life. I know many of you have talked about the numbness that you feel in those moments. I think that's what's happening for Thomas. He's in that place where it doesn't really feel real, where you constantly wake up and are reliving what's happening. So Thomas, building off of that, you know, the last sort of vignette number 2 about how we learn to ask for questions, in this vignette, we witness Thomas asking for what he needs. asking for what he needs to be able to believe, to take that next step on his journey of faith. Thomas is expressing a deep longing to know God in a very intimate way. So now, the gospel we have today, they're in that locked room again, and Jesus shows up a second time. And Jesus comes to Thomas and says, "Thomas, touch my hands. Put your hand in my side." Jesus offers Thomas what it is that he needs to have that deeper faith. Now, if you look at that text carefully, Thomas never actually touches Jesus, despite all the really beautiful and wonderful artwork with Jesus sticking his finger in the massive hole in Jesus' side. The gospel doesn't tell us that Thomas actually touches Jesus. After Jesus extends the invitation, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." It's the first time those words have been uttered in that way to describe Jesus. So this one who is called the doubter is the one who makes that first very triumphant, very intense, very bold proclamation of who Jesus is. Thomas isn't failing to believe. Thomas just needs that little boost along the way. That boost we all need from time to time. And once God gives Thomas what Thomas needs, he is able to surpass all the others in offering that proclamation, that statement of God's identity. Even more so, what Thomas does in that vulnerability of asking for what he needs, he opens a door for everybody else. That last line of the gospel: "Blessed are those who have believed but have not seen." Thomas's vulnerability paves the way for others to follow. My friends, that's us. All those who didn't have the privilege of walking this earthly pilgrimage with Jesus. Thomas opens the way for all who will come after. In Thomas, we see the importance of following God wherever God calls, even if we don't really want to go that way. We see the importance of asking for help, of asking questions, of yearning and longing for God. We see the importance of being vulnerable, of asking for the help we need, of being open to receiving the gifts that God gives us, that we might take that next step. And in doing all of those things, we pave the way for others to follow. Said in the beginning, patron saints have a lot to say about a life in a community. So what does it mean for us to be a parish dedicated to St. Thomas the Apostle? Dedicated to this one who talks about following, even where it means going where you don't want to go, about asking questions, about being vulnerable, about making room for others. It means that we've got to do the same. It means that we've got to follow God wherever God might be calling us, even into things that might make us uncomfortable, that might make us nervous, even things that are new and not the way we've always done it. I don't think there's a scarier thing I can say to Episcopalians. It means following that path of new life, doing new things, imagining new ways of being in the world, ways that we've never had to do before, but God is placing before us in this time. It's about asking questions, about being serious about our faith, of wrestling, of seeking to know God, not just in a superficial way, but let's get real with God. It's about digging into Scripture, digging into the story, digging into all those things we promise in our baptismal covenants, continuing the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread and the prayers. It's about being vulnerable, about saying, "I'm hurting, I'm grieving, I need help," and allowing God to give us what we need in those moments. It's about being real, not pretending. And that might be the greatest gift of all that we can offer to the world. So much of the world around us is about pretending, everything's great, really this time of year, right? Everything's great, everything's happy, yada, 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 holly jolly, all the elves. I mean, all that stuff's great and it's fun. But nobody really experiences this holiday season like that. We're called to be real, to show the world that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not be a-okay, hunky-dory. And that's what our Thomas does. That's what our patron does. And when we lead that way, when we take the risk of being vulnerable, it allows others to follow after us. The vestry met, last week? Great. Well, the vestry met in December, whenever that was. I think it was a week ago today. Time's flying. We started to talk a little bit about next year, about 2023 and what's in store for us. And I got to be honest, I've just been a bit giddy about what I see on the horizon for us. But I think there are definitely some things that are about to unfold in our community that allow us to go to new places, to try things that we've never done before, that allow us to dig deeper into our faith, that allow us to be vulnerable and build more connections across the communities. I'm really excited about where God is leading us in this next year. And I'm really excited for when we get to this feast day next year on the Thursday, December 21st on the Thursday next year. Mark your calendars. When we get to this feast, come on, I like to wear the red. When we get to this feast day next year, I'm really excited to look back and say, whoa, look at what we did. Look how we lived like Thomas. Look how we were able to claim our faith in stronger ways, how we grew in the knowledge and love of God, and look how we made way for others to follow as well. Beloved, we are lucky that we are dedicated to St. Thomas the Apostle. I think it's a really cool thing that we got to gather intentionally, not just on a Sunday morning, you know, like we do every other time, but we have to intentionally stop, to take time to gather, to have this one last liturgy of Advent, your first liturgy back in Rite 2. I know some of you are very happy about that. And we get to pray together our patron, share a meal, decorate for Christmas, and take that step getting ready for what we'll celebrate at the end of this week, the Incarnation. And we can take seriously our call and our vocation to make God's love known in this world now so that others who have not seen might come to believe. Amen.
Amen. Amen.